now with the latest from the world of technology. This is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide, episode 24. Glad you could join us. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. I'm Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. And on this week's show, we've got some smartphone and plan news from Optus and Telstra. The text message is also 20 years old. And we can show you how you can do your bit to fight AIDS in Africa by buying a gadget. In our reviews this week, we'll take a look at the Samsung Galaxy camera, a cross between a smartphone and a digital camera, the Panasonic Vieira 47-inch smart TV, and we'll also check out the new Sony Action Cam. And last but not least, we'll open up the Tech Guide Help Desk, and it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through right here on Tech Guide. Well, we're going to open it up with a report that came from Telstra, the result of some research conducted by the Nielsen company about Australians and their usage of smartphones. Now, it comes as no surprise that our smartphone usage is increasing year on year, and it seems that women are leading the charge there with smartphone usage and the way they use it, especially when it comes to shopping, social networking, and mobile search as well. But there were some interesting findings in the smartphone index, and it shows that more than one in two, that's 52% of mobile users, are now connected using smartphones. That's up from 41% in 2011, and 32% it was only in 2010. So we've made quite a bit of progress in two short years. We've gone from 32% in 2010 to 52% in 2012. I'm predicting right here on Tech Guide that 2013, I'd say that figure is going to be well into 60% and above. But that will probably come as no surprise, considering how much we are using our devices now. Another. I mentioned the females and younger users are really embracing the smartphone usage. Some segments, youth and females, as high as 86%, and the time they are using it is up to 10 hours a week. One activity we do also like to do, we enjoy on our smartphones, is shopping. We're showing a lot more confidence, not only searching for products to buy, but also making the purchase right there on our smartphones. Women in particular are really adding to this real growth area with mobile shopping. It helps too having great apps too, like eBay, and access to a lot of online stores which have been optimized for viewing on a mobile device. So a very smart decision for a lot of businesses to optimize their sites to be viewed easily on a mobile device, especially a smartphone, because these products, a lot more than a tablet, are actually on our person almost every time we're out and about. As often as we're awake, we've got our smartphones with us, a lot more than our tablets. Tablet usage, it can be defined by a certain hours in the day, especially in the evening, lunchtime, and after work, and things like that. But our smartphones with us all the time, hence the reason why there is a lot of growth in these areas. The other research also found almost 9 in 10 are multitasking with their smartphones, which is no surprise. They're very powerful devices nowadays with quad-core, dual-core and quad-core processors, high connectivity. So we're certainly getting a lot of use out of our devices, especially doing things like accessing social networks. There's many of us that access social networks mainly on our smartphone. I think it's 2 in 5 look at social networks on their smartphone, and 1 in 3 use their smartphone to conduct a search. So smartphones, look, they're the small computer we carry in our pockets nowadays. It's not just a telephone anymore. The fact that this the device in our pockets can just make phone calls is actually incidental. That's hardly a selling point of the device nowadays. It's the sort of apps that we can use, and also our connectivity, obviously now with 4G, 3G we've had for a while, but 4G makes that connection even faster and even more reliable, especially all the networks. Optus Network have already taken up 4G services, and Vodafone soon to follow. So smartphones, looks like they're here to stay. They're not going anywhere soon. I've written a full report on techguide.com.au. If you own a smartphone, you're one of a growing number of people right here in Australia.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
Now, Tech Guide has actually come across some information from one of our sources, and we've since confirmed this information, and it concerns Optus and the decision by Optus to stop offering free social networking on future 2-year postpaid plans. It was introduced a couple of years ago, the free access to sites like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, MySpace, eBay, Foursquare, was an offer made by Optus back in 2010, offered for the first time then as part of their timeless plans, and has since continued up until recently, where a contact of mine let me know that Optus are not going to support free social networking on their plans. It will be supported, though, interestingly, on their 4G prepaid plans, which are those SIM-only BYO smartphone offers, where you got your own smartphone, you can bring it, buy a prepaid plan, 4G plan, and you can still access those free social networking services. So what it meant for customers previously was the fact that we can access social networking sites without that contributing towards our monthly data allowances. But now Optus has actually confirmed with me that that will no longer be the case, but they were very quick to point out. They did issue a statement to say that data usage is obviously something that continues to grow with smartphone popularity, as we mentioned in the previous segment. But they did say that accessing social networking sites accounted for up to 25% of data usage on average by customers. But they're saying in their statement, and I'll read it word for word here, as smartphone popularity continues to rise in Australia, Optus needs to maintain and enhance the network to ensure our customers get the most out of their devices. I think that they put that onus back on the customer rather than them supporting free social networking on their plans. I think that they want to make customers more aware of their data usage. So rather than going nuts thinking, well, I've got free social networking, I'm going to go crazy, I think Optus wanted their customers to just to know and be more aware of their data usage, and not and obviously for their network's sake, as the statement mentioned there, they want to try to maintain and enhance that network for all. But I'll continue with the statement. It reads, Optus seeks to strike a balance between delivering value to our customers and the ongoing network investment required to ensure a good customer experience. Many of the Optus postpaid mobile plans continue to offer unlimited SMS and unlimited on-net calling. That's a feature that won't change on a lot of their plans. Unlimited calls on some, unlimited SMSs on a lot. They continue here, a new range of postpaid plans offer data allowances that cater to our customers' usage patterns, which now includes social networking. So what they're saying is that there is plenty of data in their plans, and that is plenty to include their social networking activities. They were also quick to point out the fact that there are several measures introduced by Optus to alert customers if they are getting close to their to 100% of their data limits. In fact, there is a service that sends alerts when a user reaches 50, 85, and 100% of their data limits. And there's also, interestingly, if a customer goes over their data limit unknowingly, they can actually backdate that a data top-up. There's a small packs you can buy to top up your data plan. If you go over it without knowing and unknowingly do it, you can backdate that top up rather than paying excessive data charges. There's also several apps that allow customers to monitor their data usage. But look, bottom line is Optus postpaid customers, not prepaid, postpaid customers will not be receiving free unmetered social networking access on their 2-year plans. Look, it's not going to have a huge impact on users. They're still pretty healthy data allowances, 3G, 3 gig, 4 gig on many plans. So, but we thought we'd point that out. A source of ours in the industry pointed that out to us. We confirmed it with Optus. But it is, and actually at the time of this recording, at the time of I've written the story for Tech Guide, it was still showing up on the Optus website that there was still free social network on their plans. We've confirmed that that's not going to be the case in the near future. So, the site will obviously need to be changed. But I've written that report on Tech Guide. You can read that whole or that incomplete statement as well right on techguide.com.au. Now, text messaging is really something that has developed into quite a phenomenon. It's text messaging, otherwise known as SMSing, is actually 20 years old today. Now, I'm recording this on Monday, the 3rd of December. But back back in 1992, but it was December 3 when a gentleman by the name of Neil Papworth, a Canadian working in the UK, sent the very first text message. Now, he was working on a new messaging system that Vodafone was trying to develop, and he was testing it at a terminal. And he decided that he was going to send this text message that they were working on to a colleague in another building. This is in the UK, in the Newbury office in the UK of the company, the software company he was working for on behalf of Vodafone. Now, what was happening in the other building where he was sending his message to his colleague, his company colleague, in the other building was actually Vodafone was celebrating its Christmas party. So it comes as no surprise then to read, that Papworth's first message, the first ever text message, read simply, "Merry Christmas." Nothing too earth-shattering or too dramatic, but just a simple Merry Christmas to his colleague in the middle of a Christmas party. Now, it would be another year, it'd be another 12 months before the phone-to-phone text messaging began, but the seed of text messaging, which would later to go on to be enjoyed by millions and billions of text messages sent day by day, especially here in Australia. I think we sent more than 10 billion text messages in 2011 alone. But that was the seed that was planted 20 years ago by Neil Papworth. Little did he know the phenomenon he would create. Now, as you're all aware, texting has become quite a craze. It's even spawned its own language, so people can contracting and using acronyms for their different to keep their messages within the character limit, and it is just going crazy. It's not going to slow down anytime soon. We mentioned on a previous segment the unlimited SMSs are a very popular part of plans. I think teenagers, and I've got three of them in my family, they're sending upwards of 50 text messages a day, and I think that's probably a quiet day on their behalf. No wonder we're sending billions each year. But happy birthday, happy 20th birthday to the humble text message.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, last Saturday, December 1, happened to be World AIDS Day. Now, that was a day that is recognised by many companies who are now part of a movement called Product Red. Well, World AIDS Day is a very, very worthy cause. That what it is, it tries to raise funds to fight AIDS in Africa. And it was a movement that was started by Bono back in 2006. Now, the part of the movement was Product Red, which is an initiative that involves several companies, including very large companies, including Nike, Coca-Cola, Apple, Starbucks, Converse, Dr. Dre, just to name a few. Now, what would allow people to do by simply buying a Product Red item, whether it be a item of clothing or, in Apple's case, one of their devices. They sell a red iPod Nano, a red iPod Touch, red smartphone covers for the iPad and the iPad Mini, and also iPad Shuffle, and also bumpers for several of their phones. So these Product Red items would then contribute to the World AIDS Day, the fund to fight AIDS in Africa. Now, since 2006, since it was introduced by Bono, the U2 frontman, they've raised more than $190 million, which is a very impressive figure. But what is even is equally impressive is the fact that more than $50 million of that $190 million has been generated by Apple alone, who have been right behind the Product Red movement. A lot of customers may have seen these red covers in stores, not realizing that they're in fact donating part of that, their proceeds, part of the money they're paying towards the product is going to go towards fighting AIDS in Africa. So if you're out there, if you're in need of a gadget, if you're in need of a pair of headphones, Dr. Dre make a pair of Product Red headphones. Mophi also make an iPhone 4S power pack that's also red in color, of course. So several of these items available, and these are just the tech items, of course. Part of the money you'll be paying will go towards fighting AIDS in Africa. So if you do need to buy a gadget or a cover or whatever you need to do, consider going red. Product Red, it's a worthy cause. There's a list of all the items that are available in Product Red, and also a link to the Join Red, the official website on techguide.com.au. A very, very worthy cause.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, we got our hands on a very interesting product a few days ago, and it's the Samsung Galaxy camera. Now, I first laid eyes on this product a few months ago when I attended IFA, the big trade show in Berlin, and Samsung launched that alongside the Galaxy Note 2. But what very interesting product, though, the Galaxy camera, is the fact that it is a cross between a digital camera, yet has all the features and nearly all the functionality of a smartphone. Let me explain a little bit further. Looking at the front of this device, it looks like a camera. There's a 21x zoom lens. There's a large grip on the right-hand side, as well as a control for a zoom control. There's also a switch on the side to activate the flash. So from the front, if someone was holding this and taking your photograph, you would swear that that was a normal digital camera. Well, you turn it over and that's where the differences begin. The back of this device is a 4.77-inch HD super clear touchscreen. In other words, it looks just like a smartphone. It's even running Android 4.1 operating system. So if you're looking at it from just the back, you're thinking that this person's holding a smartphone. Now, one thing it can't do is make phone calls, despite the fact it does have a SIM card on board as well as Wi-Fi connectivity. You can't actually dial a number and make a phone call. But it is possible to download Skype or Viber, these apps that allow you to make calls via the data network rather than the cellular network. So there is a way technically to make calls on this camera, but the idea of having this sort of connectivity is to share the images that are captured by the camera. Now, this is nothing foreign to users and listeners out there. Anyone who's got a smartphone has taken a photo and shared it, whether it's on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, or just simply by MMS. But what the smartphone doesn't have is the ability and the quality that this Galaxy camera can offer. For a start, the lens, 21 times zoom. Try doing that with a smartphone. You can't. The Galaxy camera, and there are a couple of pictures that I've published on my Tech Guide review, shows the ability and the quality of the zoom. So it's, I've taken a photo of the Harbour Bridge with no zoom, and then I've zoomed right in on the Luna Park, the face on the entrance of Luna Park, and you'll see the clarity of the 21 times zoom. Very impressive. There are several modes on the phone too, smart modes. There's also an auto mode, so a simple point and shoot mode, but there are several smart modes as well. And these smart modes allow you to do things like take macro shots, for example, like right up close. So if you want to take a photo of your food or your pet or a bug or whatever you want to do, a flower, the macro mode is perfect. There's also waterfall mode. There's also fireworks mode. But one of our favorites was best face. Now, as its name suggests, what this does, if you've ever taken a group shot, how many times have you taken a group shot and not everyone in the photograph is smiling? Maybe someone's blinked, someone is doing something else, looking away, whatever. What best face does is takes a burst shot. So it takes, if you've got a group shot, several people in the picture, it takes 5 shots in a burst and then allows the user to go back and select the best faces for each person so that they can combine those into the one best shot. So it's rather than having to take the photograph again, you can simply select those best faces and away you go. That's just one example of the pretty cool features on this product. It also shoots video, high definition video, of course, and also has got a good slow-mo mode as well. But there's also, for those who'd like to take complete control of their photography, there's also very impressive manual controls. And these manual controls let you control things like the shutter speed, the aperture, exposure, so that if you do really like to get right into the settings and set all this stuff just how you like it to suit the conditions, to suit what you're trying to capture, then those controls are still there. Now, on the sharing side, having a SIM card and having Wi-Fi connectivity means you can share these photographs right out of the camera. There are actually apps on the camera, so you can download on the camera, because it's running Android, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all your favorite apps, social networking apps. And I actually shared a couple of photographs when we were testing this out on Facebook straight out of the camera. It had a 3G connection. If you got Wi-Fi, even better. But you can share right out of the camera. Now, I know a lot of people out there, big fans of Instagram, they want to take their even higher quality photographs using the Samsung Galaxy camera. Right. Now, let's look at some of the performance issues that I came across. Now, using the camera was really easy, took great quality photographs. Couple of challenges, though, the battery. The battery had is only 1650 milliamps compared to 2100 that's found on the Galaxy S3. Interestingly, power battery power, so that means it's going to run out a lot sooner than the battery would on the Galaxy S3. But when you consider the fact that the battery has to power the lens, this big screen, the flash, the connectivity options, the 3G and the Wi-Fi, the battery did take a bit of a hammering, especially if you are going to use this a fair bit. You're going to probably, if you're taking photos from the morning, by lunchtime you're probably going to need to reach for the charger. Now, I gave it a thorough workout, so from about 9 o'clock in the morning till about 12:30, 1 o'clock, I was taking lots of photographs, a few videos, and that's not bad, lasting about 4 to 5 hours as it did. So, but if you are planning to take it out all day, it'd be an idea to take the charger with you as well. Another thing too, it is very responsive when it's turned on. If you're turning this on from idle or from off, from completely off, it does take a few seconds. The Samsung logo comes up a similar way to when the smartphone starts up. And, that could be frustrating if you do need, if there's something right in front of you that you want to take and you need to turn the camera on. It does take a few seconds to get ready to go into camera mode. Now, another thing too is the price. It's not cheap. It's $599. But you are getting a lot for your money. You are getting this fully featured connected device. You are also getting a top-of-the-line, fully-fledged digital digital camera, let's call it, that is just as impressive as other cameras in its price range, captures really great quality photographs, but you are also getting Android and the full gamut of those apps and the full usage of it as a connected device. I've given it 4 stars out of 5 on techguide.com.au. If you want to give it a read, you can also check out the pictures I captured with the Galaxy camera, including a couple of macros. I took a macro of my lunch, and I also took a nice panorama shot on the harbour that shows not only the ship, the large ship moored at the overseas passenger terminal, but also the Opera House and the Harbour Bridge as well. But check it out. If you're into your photography, if you want to take better quality photographs than your smartphone and you want to share them, this is the device that's got your name written on it. Full review at techguide.com.au. Now, we've also reviewed on Tech Guide the Panasonic Viera 47-inch LED smart TV. Model number is THL47ET50A. That's quite a mouthful, but it's a 47-inch LED TV, full HD resolution. That's 1920 by 1080. And that's resolution in 2D. It's also a 3D TV. What impressed me about it was the fact that it had fairly thin bezel, what they call the crystal design. So it had a silver frame with a clear edging going around the whole of the Viera, so thereby giving it the crystal look. Now, this is also a connected device, so it's also a smart TV, very smartly designed. The frame is actually quite thin, so when you're watching a program, the frame kind of recedes in the background, so all you're concentrating on is the actual picture. Now, the 47-inch TV, I was very impressed with the screen quality, the picture quality. It did take a little bit of tweaking in the settings to get it to just how I like it, but I did like the fact that there were plenty of options for viewers to get the picture just as they like it. Picture quality, I've always said, is a very subjective thing. Well, a picture quality that I think is high quality, someone else may think's rubbish, thereby the Panasonic giving users the option not only to choose from various modes, but also to tweak the sharpness, the brightness, the contrast, even the backlight intensity to come up with just the right picture quality for them. It's also got built-in Wi-Fi. I mentioned it's a connected TV, so it's also a smart TV, and you can not only catch up TV services, you can also download apps. You can even access Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Skype. Skype will work when you purchase an additional accessory, a camera accessory, which sits on top of the TV, so you can actually have your video calls in the comfort of your lounge room on the 47-inch TV. Also has DLNA, which is short for Digital Living Network Alliance, which means you can stream content from other devices and content stored on those other devices on your home network. Now, another favorite feature of mine with the Panasonic Viera is the app that you can download, the Viera Control app that will work on iPhone and Android. What it does, it provides another way to control the TV. So rather than you having to have the actual remote control, you can fire up the Viera Connect, the Viera remote app, and it allows you to do things like turning up the volume, program up and down, changing the inputs, muting the TV. But the other handy features it offered, especially in smart TV mode, is that turned the smartphone screen into a trackpad. Now, we all know that trying to navigate a screen, a web page on a television, isn't the easiest thing to do. But with this Viera app, it allowed me to use my iPhone as a trackpad. So I can just use, as I'd use it on my laptop, I can move the cursor around and click on various parts of a web page that I'm displaying on the screen. So it also allowed me to call up certain websites on the app. For example, so I called up techguide.com.au on my smartphone inside the Viera app. And what it allowed me to do was to flick it towards the television, and then a few seconds later, the website on the app would appear on the TV. I thought that it was a very nifty little feature. Similarly, you can do that with your content, your photos and videos on your smartphone. Flick them towards the TV to display them. So a really good way that Panasonic has combined the smarts of the TV with an app, the connectivity. There's plenty of solutions there that will satisfy a lot of users. in 3D mode. It was satisfactory, not excellent. There was a little bit of crosstalk I noticed in the background, not a whole amount, but enough for me to notice. And what I mean by crosstalk is seeing the image for the left eye and image for the right eye at the same time. In other words, there was a bit of ghosting in the background, so you'll see sort of a blurred image, almost like the image is you see the image twice is what crosstalk means. But that was only in the background. It didn't really spoil the enjoyment of the 3D movie. We watched a few of them on the Viera. But all in all, I think it's a good value television, offers pretty high quality, recommended retail $1,649. I gave it 4 stars out of 5. I thought it was, as I mentioned, good value and good quality for the price. So if you're after a TV that's pretty energy efficient too, I think it's a 6-star TV energy rating, or possibly a 7-star. So being LED TV, you know, it's going to run on the smell of an oily rag almost, a lot less power used than plasmas of a similar size. And Panasonic, being a company that was very big in plasma, they still offer plasmas in the larger sizes, but have really come of age with their LED TVs. They're very impressive, as a matter of fact. But if you want to read the full review, 4 stars out of 5 I gave it. I think it's a very impressive television and very reasonably priced. Full review at techguide.com.au.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
And Tech Guide's brought to you by the good people at Netgear. Do you want better Wi-Fi coverage around your home? We've all experienced those annoying Wi-Fi dead spots. And these days, with the amount of mobile devices, including our tablets and smartphones, connecting to our home network, a solid Wi-Fi connection is more important than ever. Netgear has a range of Wi-Fi extenders that will boost your existing wireless signal and improve your online experience around the home. Universal compatibility means you can keep all of your current wireless equipment, and CD-less installation makes setup easy on mobile devices. Netgear has a Wi-Fi extender to suit any size household, from the compact wall plug Wi-Fi booster for mobile up to the 4-port dual band Wi-Fi range extender, which is perfect for streaming HD video content and maximizing your online home theater experience. So if you want to boost your Wi-Fi coverage and improve your online experience in every corner of your home, check out Netgear's Wi-Fi range extenders at netgear.com.au/boost-my-Wi-Fi. Our last review for the show is another camera, but not the camera that we normally use. It's actually the Sony Action Cam. Now, this is a growing area of interest when it comes to digital photography, and that's the Action Cam, what I call the point of view camera. This is a camera that is not used in the traditional way. You strap it to your helmet, you strap it to your goggles, you strap it to your body, and you record your adventures, things like swimming, snorkeling, surfing, skiing, skateboarding, whatever you want to do, riding a bike, whatever you want to capture, the Sony Action Cam can do it. And what I liked is the fact that it comes with a watertight case, so you can place the Action Cam inside the watertight case, seal it up, and take it up to 60 meters underwater. So if you're scuba diving or snorkeling, the Sony Action Cam can capture everything in full high definition. Now, in terms of design, the device fits in the palm of your hand. It only weighs 65 grams. And so that means it's not too bulky if you're wearing it on the side of your helmet or on your goggles. It's got a little small LCD screen on the side. It records onto micro SD cards. And look, it takes great quality, high definition videos. Also can capture stills at intervals. Has a really cool slow motion mode where it records at 120 frames per second. So when it's played back at the usual 30 frames per second, you got some nice slow-mo footage there. But one little wrinkle I found with the Sony Action Cam was the fact it doesn't have image rotation. And by that, I mean the camera has to be sitting the right way up to record your video the right way up. It's not like your smartphone that you can hold at any where you can hold it sideways, you can hold it long ways, and it will still take your photograph in the right way up. Unfortunately, the Sony Action Cam doesn't have that ability, unlike its competitors, the GoPros and the Contours out on the market. So that was something that that we've noticed in our review, and something that really lets the device down. I think that was one of the only things that we found that was probably on the downside. We were very impressed with its performance, its quality. Being Sony, you know, there's a lot of technology that's gone into it, a lot of heritage coming from a lot of other Sony products, including their digital camera division there. So, look, I think for a first attempt, not a bad try. 3.5 stars we gave it on Tech Guide. You want to read the full review, you can. Priced at $399. There's Wi-Fi included on board, so you can connect an app. You can use your smartphone as a viewfinder. You can use the app also to change some controls and also to transfer video. You want to read the full review, you can at techguide.com.au. 3.5 stars, full review and pictures at techguide.com.au.
Answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, one question we've had asked of us several times lately is to do with FaceTime. Now, FaceTime, let me explain, is the video calling ability between Apple products. So if you have an iPhone 4, an iPhone 4S, an iPhone 5, you may have an iPad 2, an iPad, the new iPad, the iPad 4th generation, iPad mini. You may even have a Mac laptop, a Mac desktop, anything running Mountain Lion. All these devices allow users to contact each other. So if your family member has an iPhone, you got an iMac at home, you can call each other on your devices. And that is called FaceTime. And FaceTime is a video call. And the question for the help desk is, how much data does a FaceTime call use? Now, we have done a bit of research here and found that if for each minute that you are connected making a FaceTime call, that adds up to 3 megabytes. So if you're having a 10-minute conversation, that is 30 megabytes of data that you're using. Now, if you're on Wi-Fi, it's not so bad, especially if you're on someone else's Wi-Fi, that's even better. But now what FaceTime allows iPhone 4S and iPhone 5 users, and also iPad with 4G iPads as well, is the ability to make these calls on the cellular network. So you don't need to be in a Wi-Fi zone. Before iOS 6 was introduced, you had to be Wi-Fi to connect. Not the case anymore. You can connect on 3G, 4G, if you have the signal strength, of course. So very important to note that if you are doing it on the cellular network, 3 meg a minute. So keep those calls short, or if you've got a very large data allowance, then you can talk to your heart's content. But I think that's a figure to remember, 3 megabytes per minute for your FaceTime calls. And that wraps it up for another week. Everything I spoke about on this week's show can be seen in more detail at our website, techguide.com.au. We also love hearing from our listeners, and you can get in touch with us by emailing us here at info@techguide.com.au. You can also help out by sending us your help desk questions to the Tech Guide forum on the right-hand side of the menu bar there. And it was all thanks to Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi gear for all your wireless needs. Thanks for listening. Until next week, take care.